It's Choose Your Fate at 4 on Cofield and Company.
Basketball coaches choosing their favorite TV show and movie. List of 300 plus coaches. I could do this all day. It's hilarious because you just never really know someone. And in a lot of cases, they didn't try. Or they tried to send a message.
Bill Self, Chicago PD.
Okay.
Is he trying to recruit the Chicago area?
I don't think there has to be an ulterior motive on all of them.
I think all of them.
My TV show, any guess?
Your favorite TV show of all time?
Yeah.
Welcome Back, Cotter.
Come on. I'll give you a hint.
Gunsmoke.
What have you done for me lately?
What have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
That's a clue?
Recency bias.
Oh, The Office.
No.
I don't know.
Favorite TV show, Tiger King.
Oh, okay. Should have been way too
easy. I gave
easy.
You the clue. Opposite end of the spectrum. Favorite movie, anytime I'm asked and it throws people off. Because I could go with like goofy movies like Back to the Future. I could go with sports movies that always get me. The Rocky IV.
Ugh, four.
Four was Drago, right?
I don't know.
I think four was Drago. It's got the best soundtrack ever. I always get confused on 2, 3, and 4.
I hate all of them.
Yeah. No, favorite movie is favorite TV show is Tiger King. Favorite movie is It's a Wonderful Life.
That's horrific. I would make the argument that Tiger King is a movie. It's just a long movie.
Oh, I think it's a TV show.
It's a long documentary. Just a 6-hour documentary.
Is The Wire a TV show?
It's 5 seasons.
Okay, so it's one season. Documentaries can be TV shows.
I think if it's a start to a finish, just because they broke it up into 7 parts doesn't mean it's a 7-part show. It's right. One long documentary.
Well, you know, we'll run this by Jeff Goodman, who maybe he makes the rules on this.
Okay. Nobody listed Tiger King, though.
God, there are some good choices in here. There really are. Man.
There was a choice of Martin by Mike Boynton. That's a good pick.
Martin was also the choice of Damon Stoudamire.
Okay. Well, I'll say
Damon Stoudamire, TV show was Martin, movie was Scarface.
That's an interesting mix.
That's a good.
I'll say that.
varies much.
Mike Boynton is clearly a Martin Lawrence fan because he picked Martin and then Life as his favorite movie. So he's definitely got a theme. A
lot of Billions. Anyone who puts Billions down, I would put Billions up there as one of the shows of this century right behind Tiger King.
Ryan Odom and Tommy Dempsey, both coaches in the America East, both have the same show and movie.
Okay.
Seinfeld and Shawshank Redemption. Very, very common choices, but they're in the same conference.
We have to find the goofiest combination and get them on next week. Ari, mark it down.
Look through.
Well, I don't know if I want his impression of what the goofiest choice
I
is.
Do.
Ari, what's your favorite TV show of all time? Uh-oh.
Dramatic pause.
I think he's in the bathroom.
Ha. I would probably have to say The Office.
Okay. Favorite movie?
I haven't put much thought into this, honestly.
Well, think about it. Think about it. I know you're all thrown off. You,
Office Space, ironically, is one of my favorite movies.
Wow.
Okay. Office theme.
There's
nice.
A theme?
It is
know,
good.
Right?
The soundtrack's
maybe
awesome.
Maybe it's just because I'm here
like it.
At the office.
By the way,
did you hear what he said?
Yes, maybe because I'm here in the office.
But you have not cheered up in the last 65 minutes. I don't know what happened to start the show that got you so miffed.
I'll also say
this Thursday.
Ron Hunter. Ron Hunter's
just Thursday.
Yeah, I know.
Wow, we talked about everyone coming unraveled around the world, sports, broadcasters. Boy, Ari did not react well to that open of the show.
No.
It'll be okay, Ari. I'll smooth things over for you.
Thanks.
Good. Ron Hunter's favorite show is American Idol. I just will not accept that as a favorite show.
I will.
But only
when Simon was on.
I'll also point out that a ton of coaches actually picked All American as their favorite show, which is, I believe, the only current scripted show that I watch on television.
Mm.
So, interesting choice there. I don't think it's a hugely popular show.
So, Love is Blind is not scripted at all?
No. God, no.
Okay.
No actors on there at all, Ari. None.
No, yeah. They're influencers.
Okay.
Again, we can do this all day long. But I want to get to – this is actually not Choose Your Fate at 4.
Oh, that's right.
I just have to mention this last one. Kevin Willard, I don't like Seton Hall at all. Sort of a rival school. Movie, Die Hard. TV show, MacGyver. That's freaking awesome.
That's not awesome.
Yes, it is. It's He's terrible. Trying at least.
It's terrible.
Patrick Ewing said none and none. Come on, Pat.
Those are pretty bad choices.
Ewing, you got to step up. I don't care what it is. Give me YouTube videos of Charles Smith. That's a Knicks joke.
Tony Jacek at Jacksonville's favorite show is The Bachelor.
By the way, Ari, he can't stop.
I can't.
There's no way to cut this off.
And we're going
to
keep going.
I knew it was going to be a struggle.
We have a guest at 4:15.
What's the
Sorry, we're canceling.
What one to choose your face?
He just ran out of the building.
No, he did not.
With his middle finger up. I'm just
Choose your fate at four. Choices. Tiger King's boyfriend's new grill.
Jeff Neubauer is the only coach that didn't respond to the text.
No, there are many that didn't respond.
Oh, okay.
NBA's most improved beard. Spinach day over nougat day. And the Rambassador ain't happy. Surprisingly, spinach day over nougat day, Rambassador, and the most improved beard all got less than 16%. Tiger King boyfriend's new grill, 60%.
Of course it did.
Yeah.
What else could you vote for? Now, I did not suggest this today when I sent my tweet out. I just said, I'm not even going to make a suggestion.
You know what to do.
I already know what's happening. We already know what's winning this. Let's go. This was the only choice.
I have to say, this is the first of the Tiger King's boyfriends. The first of Joe Exotic's husband. You're right.
It's the one with the tattoo.
The
property of Joe Exotic.
Second one, I won't spoil because Ari still doesn't watch the show. By the way, full recap of Tiger King coming up sometime in April. This is like the coronavirus. He refuses to watch the show. And the excuse is, I have a lot of stuff to do.
Not only
He keeps saying the same thing. I have got a lot of stuff to do.
Not only is he
maybe
taking
it's
too long.
True.
Not only is he taking too long, I reached out. There's a podcast I do on the East Coast sometimes, and the host was tweeting about this.
Yeah.
And I said, can you do an episode? I need to talk about this. Like, we can't get to it on our show. Let's go.
Well, you said you wanted a book, Sam, from the old Opie and Anthony show. We can't have him on, Ari, until you do what you're supposed to do.
I told you, go for
Not
it.
On.
Go ahead. It wouldn't be the first time.
No.
I'm not going to spoil it.
I like how the rules change all of a sudden. That's great.
That's the way the show works.
It's great.
There are no real rules.
There are no rules.
It's true.
Oh, I know.
It's very true.
Yeah, John Finley, the guy, the teeth guy, and there's a lot of teeth guys on Tiger King. He got a brand new grill. I'm going to say, I don't like it.
I mean, he looks much better.
I don't care about him anymore. What's the point?
That's fair. He's also wearing a shirt.
He is wearing a shirt.
Which is quite a change, and maybe wasn't his choice to not wear a shirt in the documentary.
Can't say. And I won't talk about a tattoo that's supposed to cover stuff up that wasn't very good.
I thought the original one was better.
Can't say.
You should have kept the original tattoo.
Spoilers. Can't do it. Ari's listening. Can't do it.
John Finley does have new teeth, though. That is the winner. Pick your fate.
We have to address this a little bit more. Choose your fate at four. Yeah, at least get the come on. At least get the
choose your fate
right.
at four.
We will get to the NBA's most improved beard, spinach day over nougat day. Come on, and the Rambassador that's coming up. But we'll talk a little bit of hockey, but a lot of other stuff because a guy who's juggling lots of different activities right now, RTHG Ryan, the hockey guy, is in with us to, like I said, talk a little bit of VGK, but also what he's doing with his free time.
Hit up Cofield and Company on Facebook, like ESPN Las Vegas.
This is Paul Hoffman, a Red Wings fan, 5'9", 175 pounds, 34 years of service. This is like having Gordon Ramsay come to your house and having make microwave popcorn. He's going to put on a windshield wiper. It's a clamp apparatus that snaps around to the driver's side windshield. It snips on like that, clamps down like that, and it's flat on
That's
the windshield.
It. Go Wings.
It's Cofield and Company.
All right, rolling on this Thursday, that was Doc Emmerich. A lot of the play-by-play guys are doing a play-by-play of just everyday activities. I got to tell you, I don't want them to steal someone else's line, but if anyone out there has ever tried to put on a windshield wiper, the replacement, you got to close it out with the Al Michaels line when he got it done, right?
believe in miracles?
Yes. Do you believe in miracles? He got it done.
Telling him how to do his job?
I know. I'm not a play-by-play
guy. Who are you?
I feel like there should have been a stronger close. Joe Buck seems to get the whole theme a little bit more. A
little bit.
He's incredibly annoying, though.
The British ones are better.
What does that mean?
There's the British soccer announcers are doing
oh, really?
The same thing. They were the ones that did it first. And then the Americans kind of stole
boy,
it.
Boy, those would be great to hear, wouldn't they, Ari?
But
be wonderful.
I mean, it doesn't make sense without watching it. Like, it's people crossing the street.
It'll make sense. We'll grab him. Right. We'll grab him. Ryan Hockey Guy in studio right now. He's just off his show, VGK Insider Show. Ryan, how you doing?
Not as bored as Doc Emmerich.
I don't want to crack. This show's very mean, as you know. And I feel like people are just trying to feel good and, you know, provide some smiles to others. So I don't know. I don't know where I fall on Doc Emmerich's so-so play-by-play.
I'm just saying I'm not as bored as he is.
So. No, you're not.
No.
No, you're not.
Keeping busy.
So let's see. Let's start with you have to fill the audience in. Was there a bake-off? What was going on with you and Jared the Baker?
Oh, I have no idea. He tagged me in a poor excuse for vegan muffins, I guess. Or no, they weren't muffins. They were supposed to be cupcakes, but they just didn't work out very well, and he didn't understand why, and I think it's because he didn't realize that you need to add applesauce as a binder. So I just kind of gave him some pointers, but I don't bake.
Have you had his bread before? Is he an accomplished baker?
I have heard that he is incredibly good in terms of baking things, but he's perfecting recipes right now for me as we speak.
Do you ever see, we're talking to Ryan the Hockey Guy, Ryan Wallace, do you ever see, because they're very tight, Tyler and Jared. Jared makes bread for Tyler Bischoff on the reg. Do you ever see your relationship with Frank being as tight as Jared and Tyler?
No.
Sorry, I couldn't even get through that.
No, I don't.
Is there a chance that Frank will bake for you?
Is about the same percentage chance that Frank will watch Tiger King.
He's not going to watch it?
Exactly.
Oh, of course not.
In fairness, I did set up for the first 5 or 6 minutes of the show today the reasons why Frank should watch this documentary, and I didn't really get into the premise except for it's kind of like a mafia show, and it's real, and it's a documentary, so I tried to be as vague as possible. Maybe we'll get lucky. I don't know.
He's got a lot. More likely, Frank watching Tiger King or Frank eating a hot dog?
Well, neither one of them are going to happen, so.
Right. I don't – Frank Hornish is a – he's a unique guy, folks. For some reason, he's got a phobia with hot dogs. He won't eat hot dogs, which are like a staple of life. I don't understand it.
Well, that's not true.
What, a staple of life?
Yeah.
Yes, they are.
I would not categorize hot dogs as a staple
of life. Okay, Ryan, please answer this honestly. I know he's your partner, not that way, but does Frank Hornish not look like a guy who's – likes hot dogs.
Loves hot dogs.
Yes.
Yes. Now, okay. I've talked to Frank about hot dogs many a times, and
I don't get it.
We lost him.
Yeah, I think he just dipped out. I think he started cussing and just turned off the mic.
No, I can't do it.
I can't do it. Can't do it. It's going to be a Bill O'Reilly here in a second.
I'll do it live.
No, Frank says that he will eat hot dogs, that there's been kind of a mystique built about this phobia, this fear of eating hot dogs, and that he will actually do that.
It's Ryan Wallace here on a Thursday.
Yep.
Cofield & Company at the Cofield Studios. Ryan is a lot braver man than one Ari. I don't know if you heard the Ari story earlier, but Ari got very upset that someone else came into work in his workspace.
That's pretty much what I expect out of Ari. Hmm. He's mad that I'm in the studio right now, I'll be honest.
Ryan, he also will not watch Tiger King, which is ruining our full blowout recap of Tiger King.
Yeah, I don't really care if he's seen it or not. We can talk about it. I finished it last night. I concur.
Hmm. What do we do, Adam? You're the voice of reason on the show, unless you're not getting your
coffee. Don't let the listeners down on my account.
No, you're letting the listeners down.
Yeah, you are letting the listeners down. I've seen like 20 group texts of, Ari, Stop what you're doing. Finish the show so we can talk about it.
Do you hear how asinine
that sounds?
5 days
in a row.
Stop what you're doing right now. Underrated scene is when
you're not allowed to leave your house.
Carol Baskin, they're showing the wedding pictures from her second marriage, or third marriage, actually, to her current husband.
Dragging him around by a leash?
Yes, dragging him around by a leash.
I saw that tweet. Yep. I saw all kinds. She killed someone, a bunch of people.
Hey, that's a legend.
Whoa, spoiler.
Well, see how it feels for me. I don't know if it's a legend or not. So, both Ryan and Steve, though, have told me that pretty much, like, watch it anyway, despite the spoilers, and you'll still be intrigued.
You've seen the first episode, right?
That's it, yes.
Like, you know where it's going.
Yeah.
No, you really don't. That's why you gotta watch it.
Well, like, yeah, like, I'm down to watch it from there, the first episode, and then just all this stuff happened. And
what I stuff?
Your deadline, your mandatory deadline to watch all the episodes by Thursday.
What did I walk into?
God.
Right? What is going on?
Very dysfunctional show.
This has been going on for 4 days, though. What are you doing at night?
First off.
That's the question.
Hold on. Wait,
you can never answer.
Wait, hold on. Stuff.
Well, yep.
He's like, I have a million things to do.
It doesn't even matter, but half of the stuff is for the show anyway sometimes, so.
Oh, my God.
Would you rather stop?
Wait, hold on. Is it for the show, or is it for the show sometimes?
Sometimes, because I have life outside of here.
Oh, do you?
What? Well, you're not allowed to do anything!
You can't go out! What are you talking about?
Wow.
What are you doing?
I'm not going anywhere. I have
things to do. Right, of course you're at home!
On the computer!
What? Watch the show.
This is just absurd.
Again, I will watch it this weekend just so I can get around this, having this kind of a conversation.
That's what you said yesterday.
Can we get back to what Frank will or won't eat?
Yeah, that's a much better subject.
Can we lighten the mood? Not yelling at Ari. Every time Ari sends out a tweet that is not related to the show or is just superfluous, I send him a tiger and a crown.
Yep. In the group text. Because he'll see Ari's doing something that's not watching Tiger King. And he'll send him the tiger and the crown in a group text. Like, what are you doing right now? You're tweeting about nothing.
You don't have anything else. Just go home and watch it. Just end this.
Leave.
Just
leave.
End this.
We'll just carry the next hour and a half.
Yep. Commercial free. Go ahead.
It's two episodes you can get through.
Yep.
Sounds good.
I'm so mad right now. I can feel the steam coming out of his ears.
I'm just trying to help out, you know, the people so that they can get this recap.
I still don't know what he does at night.
I know.
What is he doing?
You need to know what I do every
moment. Yes, because I would like some ideas. We have nothing. We're not allowed to leave the house.
Wait,
let
him
go. What are you doing?
Snapping. Yeah, I'm getting snappy. The show consumes a large portion of my life, so any bit of that I can preserve outside of it, I choose to do things other than watch Tiger King. But I will watch it this weekend when I have a little more time.
Ryan,
the whole world will be a much better place then from there.
Ryan Wallace, you're witness to this. Yeah. Ari, for the next week, the next six shows, don't do any rejoins, don't do an open, don't book a guest. What else do you have to do?
I have to physically come in here, so maybe I'll just stay home, too.
I'm off tomorrow. Seriously, I'm off tomorrow. I will do every rejoin for the show tomorrow and the open, and I will book the guest. I'm off! That's how committed I am to making you watch. Wait, that sounded bad. To making you watch Tiger King.
Got it on the radio. That'll be in the podcast later.
So, Ryan, who's the biggest villain? Who do you think is the biggest villain on the show? Because I've seen lists that are all over the place on Tiger King. Not this show. Clearly, it's me.
That's a tough one. I feel like there really isn't much difference between Joe and Carol and Bhagavan. Like, Bhagavan, to me, is the weirdest dude. Yeah. Like,
Doc,
he's just the strangest guy that I've ever had the misfortune of watching for an entire day on television. But I would have to say that there's something about Carol that freaks me out, man. Like, I wouldn't want to be alone anywhere with Carol. I'm fairly certain that she's killed somebody or three people. So I would say probably Carol number one, Joe number two, Bhagavan number three, and that's probably my top three.
I think Jeff's two.
Yeah, a lot of people have Jeff Lowe, who enters the show later as the worst person on the show.
You know, I was talking about Jeff, and I'm trying to like talk myself into putting him in the top three, but like I just kind of think he's an idiot. Like I think he's kind of a jerk and all that, but I don't know that he's as crazy as the other three.
You know, we've been watching what we say about Jeff because I think he lives locally a lot of the time. Adam, has your mom seen him out and about?
she, as soon as she was watching it, she texted me and said, "That's the guy from the dog park."
What does that mean? What's happened at the dog park?
No, he got out of the dog park. When people dress like that, they're noticeable.
Yeah,
in the desert. Freaking idiot.
Hard to mistake a bandana and a hat.
This is leather jacket on when it's 112.
Leather affliction gear in 2019, bro. Come on. Knock it off.
Was the tiger cub a dead giveaway too? Or
yeah, he's got the tiger with him.
He didn't bring tiger with him to the dog park, or else my stupid dogs would have yapped at it and tried to fight it. It's completely ridiculous. But yeah, apparently, and by the way, side note, I'm not connecting these dots. At the dog park this morning, a body was discovered, which is very disturbing.
Really?
Yeah, at my dog park.
I thought they closed it off.
They did, but it's a huge park, and I don't think it's related at all because I think it happened last night.
Wow.
I took the dogs to the dog park the other night. It was closed, so I let them run around.
Right.
They ran off into the distance, and they started barking like crazy, and I'm like, all right, let's go. We're getting out of here. And now this morning, a body's discovered.
Your dogs may have found the body.
I don't think so, because we'll find out what the news comes out. But I think if it was there all day, because that was two nights ago, I think it was there all day, somebody would have found it yesterday, right?
Possibly.
I think so.
Ryan, you've been a maven so far on, we're talking to Ryan Wallace, on social media with activities. I don't know how many videos you put out, but are you hesitant in any form or fashion in putting stuff out? I get a little worried sometimes. Like, I saw you guys, you were tagged on a video today where you were working a hockey stick. Maybe not you, but you guys were working a hockey stick and toilet paper. I don't know. I feel like everything is offensive now.
Yeah, I was actually a little concerned about that. But one of my good buddies challenged me to the toilet roll challenge, which is essentially just juggling a roll of toilet paper on a hockey stick as long as you possibly can. I know it sounds great, right?
No, it does.
Well, I kind of got tired of him chirping me, so I went out and tried to do it today, and that was the first take. And then I thought about it, and I'm like, yeah, toilet paper, it's a hot commodity. People might get mad at me, but you know what? It is what it is. No one seemed to really get too angry about it, so I thought it was fun. It's a good video. We got Jesse Granger to do it too, so that was fun also.
How much toilet paper do you have in your house right now that you can waste a roll?
Well, probably 60 rolls, but I think that 60. I think that, you know, we didn't buy 70 rolls when this all got bad. We kind of have always had a little bit of a supply, and that's how we like to live our lives.
That was great.
We live our lives loaded up on toilet paper.
God, you
always
live,
what prepared.
A lesson for all of us.
Yep. Always prepared.
Extravagant existence. All right, when's the NHL coming back?
That's a great question.
Good segue.
Yeah, so the date for self-isolation for NHL players has been pushed back to April 4th. I would expect that that's going to continue to get pushed back as more cases continue to develop here in North America, in the United States and Canada. So my best guess is you're not going to see hockey until at least end of June, maybe July. Oh. And I think that a lot of the ideas on the table right now are to play later into the summer, so July, August, September, have a shortened off season, and then go right into an 82-game schedule. I don't know that that makes a lot of sense, because you talk about the rate of injury through an 82-game season, and then you kind of condense everything and you tack it on. I don't think that 11 months of straight hockey, especially if you're a team that maybe plays late into this season and then you go late into the next season, that it's necessarily good. But I think the alternative of losing all that revenue and having to adjust salary caps and dealing with escrow for the players is less desirable than a couple of extra injuries. So my guess is July, August, September are the realistic dates that you could look at right now.
Ryan, very good job. We know no one really wants to be in the building right now with what's going on with the coronavirus. So we appreciate you sticking around and doing the spot in studio, and keep your family safe, okay?
All right. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Ryan Wallace, who seems to have a penchant for busting Ari's chops. I think that vibe.
Yeah, that was him. We were completely out on that.
I don't like to do that.
Yeah.
He dragged us along for that ride.
It's not part of my repertoire.
All of a sudden, when Ryan comes in, it's just totally different. Huh? Never
take it up with him
ever.
Ari, I mean this as a compliment. Seriously, this is the best show you've done the entire time with us. Your work on Mike today has been awesome. When we come back, good times with Mr. Sunshine. We'll get to some happy stories and stop busting on Ari.
Visit Cofield's Corner on LVSportsNetwork.com for access to the latest podcasts and best interviews. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Time to talk about the good stories. We know it's a rough time. Coronavirus. We don't want to bombard you with any of that stuff, at least on a regular basis. Some good time news from the NBA here in a second. I wanted to ask you, Adam, have you changed the way you're texting people? Do you feel obligated to do more than just go back and forth with someone? If you haven't talked to them in a while, like yesterday was my birthday, so thank you, everyone who sent over birthday wishes. That was really cool. I said thank you a couple of times, and then I was like, I really need to ask everyone, like, what's going on with their family and if everything's okay. Are you feeling that pressure?
It depends, like, how much I care.
Okay.
I actually do care about most people.
Okay.
But I think if I don't, there's certain people I know that that will turn into a very lengthy conversation.
Okay, so if you're listening right now and Adam hasn't asked you how you're doing during this pandemic, he just indicated what he thinks of you.
Well, most people that would be listening, I've kind of asked.
Okay.
But I'm saying people that, there's certain people that I know are going to say, you know, you answer the question, it's 30 texts, 40 texts. You don't need that because I probably have 200 text conversations going right now. Like, I don't need to add more. So it's, if you just want to say, hey, I'm thinking about you, because I do care how everyone is doing.
Right.
It'll just be like, hey, stay safe. Let me know if you need anything. That's like, hey, I really do care, but I don't really want to talk about it.
Quick hit.
Yeah.
Quick answer, let's move on.
I do genuinely honestly care.
I'm a busy guy. I've got a million things to do. I'm like an Ari.
But I do genuinely honestly care about how people are doing, especially if I know them well enough to be texting with them. For sure, I care, but I don't need to hear the specifics of what you're watching and all that. Like, I don't need all that. Because I'm already having that conversation with, like, 150, 200 people right now. I don't need that.
Okay.
I don't need more.
I'll set up a scenario. If I owed you money and you texted me to remind me that I owed you money, would you preface it by asking how the day is going and if anyone around me is sick?
100%.
You would?
Oh, yeah, because if you're asking a favor of somebody,
you
have to start it off. You have to soft sell it.
Well, it's not a favor. I owe you money.
Yeah, but it's still...
It's overdue.
Yeah, then you sound like a jerk in these times you just come right out with it.
Yeah, my pool guy earlier goes, I hope you're doing well. I've never gotten that from him ever.
Right. You feel the obligation at this time.
Just a reminder... Please send the money.
That's what it says?
No. Okay. It says, just a reminder, please send over payment. I Venmo him money.
You do have to soft sell.
I don't need that.
I know, but everybody feels like they need
it. Don't do it. No, you don't. Question. If I owe you money, like, just send a blunt message. Where's the money? Where's my money?
What if he just sent like just a dollar sign emoji question mark?
Yep. I'm fine with it.
Or an exclamation mark, because he owes it to you.
Come on, I know what's going on. We don't have to beat around the bush.
I feel like you do.
If I owe you some scratch, just ask for it.
I feel like in these times, you have to.
All right, that was not a good time story. I guess it was. He handled it nicely.
I always forget when it's 4:30.
Good times with Mr. Sunshine.
I'm not good at this.
You did see that some of the top officials around the NBA are going to take pay cuts.
Yeah.
That's a nice message to send.
It is.
I would like to see more of that in the real world.
Oh, there was one today.
What'd you say?
Texas Roadhouse. The CEO will forego salary the rest of the year.
Sweet.
And that money will go to pay all the employees in the time that the restaurant is closed.
Do we have an update on the CEO of Boeing? Is he going to forego pay?
He's about to get a large influx of cash.
He seems to be the enemy of many. I saw Mark Cuban sort of reacting to Boeing getting a bunch of money in a bailout.
Well, it could be argued that they need to be bailed out because they made a faulty product.
Mm-hmm.
Not because of the downturn in the economy.
I've seen that argument a lot.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the NBA a little bit here. Listen, Silver steps in it every once in a while, but I think they're the most forward-thinking organization. I think he's the best commissioner. He's the most in touch with reality. They're going to try to come back. I'm not going to say sooner than later because I have no idea, but when they come back, they may have to come back without fans.
Yeah.
And LeBron spoke about this, right? Is he enthused to come back and play in – you know, smaller gyms, whatever, big arenas, but just no fans.
Well, no, we know that he said before the shutdown that he wouldn't do it.
I'm not playing.
I will not play. He did change his tune very quickly when he started to learn more and understand what was going on. But he came out and he said that it just would not be the same. He said, what is the word sport without fan? There's no excitement. There's no crying. There's no joy. There's no back and forth. That's also what brings out the competitive side of the players, to know that you're going on the road in a hostile environment. And yes, you're playing against that opponent in front of you, but you really want to kick the fans' butt too. So to get back on the floor, I'd love it. I'm not going to sit here and say nothing like, if it's get out there and get back the floor 5-on-5, we can do that in scrimmages. Let's just go to each other's practice facility, put out a camera, scrimmage and live stream it. I just don't know how we can imagine a sporting event without fans. It's just a weird dynamic.
I think a lot of players are going to feel that way. I don't think they're going to have a choice.
Yeah, I mean, there has been a couple of these instances. A lot of in European soccer, there's been no fans. There was the Orioles-White Sox game, I believe it was, a couple of years ago in Baltimore when things were really bad. They played without fans, and it was a very weird game. Very weird game, because like he's saying, it's almost like you're just playing a scrimmage with your friends with no fans there. It's a totally different dynamic.
Charles Barkley was on Colin Cowherd and addressed this subject of potentially playing with no fans and what that's going to mean for the players and how odd it'll be.
And I think it's impossible to play without fans. One of the reasons the game is great, you want people to you want to showcase your talent. The crowd has a huge effect upon the game. I know there was times I was tired. The crowd's going nuts, and I'm just like, I get energy from anywhere. But also, it works the other way. There's nothing better than sticking it to a fan who's sitting right behind the bench, who's harassing you the whole game. So it works both ways for players.
Hadn't thought of the other part of it, yeah. That the enemy fans get you jacked up.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
The opposing fans.
And that's almost the same thing as what LeBron said, too, about – you know, just it just motivates you, and you go on the road, and you're like, let's shut these people up. There's a big element of that, and I think it absolutely adds to the emotion on the floor.
It's funny, both LeBron and Barkley had really weird, sort of clueless is probably too strong. I don't want to say uneducated. They were just unaware of what was going on with the coronavirus and the possibilities, because Barkley was the one who, talking to TMZ about 2.5 weeks ago, is like, what's everyone going to stay home? We're going to cancel games? People aren't going to go out? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what's happening.
Yes.
I know it's unimaginable, but that's what's happening. And obviously, as you mentioned, LeBron was like, I'm not playing without fans. I'm not doing that. And then I'm sure right after someone whispered in his ear, like, yeah, it's going on all over the world. It's already happening. Like, get ready.
Yeah.
Could be coming here. Here's a little more Barkley talking about fanless games in the NBA.
You know, we talk about game seven. When you're playing a game seven at home, man, that's a huge advantage.
Yeah.
The crowd, man, can you imagine playing a game seven with nobody in the stands? I mean, yeah, the players want to win, but when you get tired and depressed, who's going to give you that extra jolt of energy to bring you back?
Weird one too, right? Now, your first thought would be, well, if you're in the playoffs and you have a couple of regular season games, what the hell does your seed matter when you come back?
Yeah.
What's the point? But there is something to playing at home beyond fans, and that is, you know, the creature comforts and being able to avoid the travel. Although you could actually argue, it's like, hey, you know, but I still get to play at Staples. Do you? You know, if you're the Lakers,
yeah. Yeah.
I don't know where you're going to play. You might not even, like, you both may be on the road. You may be playing at freaking, you know, in El Segundo.
Right, but wouldn't that be even a bigger advantage to play at the practice facility where you play every day and know the rims?
I suppose. All right. I brought up a bad example.
Huh.
What if it was somewhere, you know, you're playing at
neutral.
Galen. You're playing at Galen. You're the Lakers. You have the top seed. You're playing games at Galen or Pauley Pavilion.
Well, wait a minute. Weren't we doing an island? The Isolation Island reality show?
I think the Big Three already took that idea.
No, they're doing a house, though.
Oh, now they're doing a house?
Yeah, they're doing a house with an indoor basketball court, a half court. They're doing a house.
Is the Big Three going to have to sign, like, some wacky characters? Like maybe guys who can't even play?
Doesn't
Rodman automatically get into the Big Three?
Joe Exotic?
Well, I think to sell it, it probably needs to be somebody who's played basketball.
He's got some height. He's got the hair.
I mean, he can.
He's a showman.
He can run the pizza shop.
Nobody wants that.
Would there be a pizza shop in a house? Probably not. He can be the chef?
No, nobody wants that either.
How will they get the – we're going to just ruin the show. We're going to ruin Tiger King.
Because we're making enough subtle references.
If you're on an island, how do you get the Walmart meat?
Barge?
Just airlift it in?
Yeah, it might take a while.
They'll drop it?
It might take a while to get
there. But the meat might get spoiled when you're dropping it.
Too late.
What's the difference?
It doesn't matter.
just trying to top each other with stupid lines from Tiger King.
That's all I want to do. Damn you, Ari.
That's it. Game seven. Right in and out of our heads.
Halftime entertainment. Some baby cubs. I guess they're babies anyway.
Yes.
It's redundant.
You're losing it. Now you're coming unraveled. On the way back, we'll get to some of the latest numbers posted around sportsbooks around the country, specific to the National Football League. We'll get into the possible comeback players of the year. Yeah, those numbers are actually posted.
Join the conversation on Twitter at ESPN Las Vegas. It's Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Gambling.
I'm going to kill your bookmaker. I'm going to rip his throat out. I will step on his throat until the man chokes. Let me tell you how. Winners, 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 winners. Free, 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 free.
By the way, that's a guy we have to check in on. I have not looked into what Stu has been doing during the quarantine.
I mean,
do you think he's holed up or is he living like an animal?
Is he around?
He's crazy. Yeah. Oh, he's still around.
Okay.
He's still around. He eats like three of us and he's still screaming and yelling and gambling and.
Good.
Yeah.
Live your best life.
What do you do without action, though, if you're all about action every day?
I don't know. Ari's finding a way.
Ari's very busy.
Yeah, he's incredibly busy.
Yeah. I've seen people betting, you know, crazy stuff going on in Europe and internationally. So I have someone text me every day. They're playing ping pong. Not like actually playing ping pong, but betting ping pong.
I told you I was watching those Madden simulations. Those are all for betting purposes. There's
Get out of here.
There's props posted.
Where can you bet them? Global?
I'm not sure. Yeah, I think it's I think there's an offshore.
Really?
Spot. I haven't bet on any of them, but they're posting props and game lines and second half lines and all that stuff.
Could you ever see checking it out and then believing there's an advantage, like that you can beat the book?
No, I feel like it's just completely random. But I know a couple books yesterday or the other day booked the Cage Warriors card, which is a very low level MMA promotion over in Europe, and also the sumo tournament that went on this weekend.
I saw that sumo did really well. William Hill took a lot of action on sumo.
Yeah,
it's a cool sport. I wish I knew it. I mean, that's a Cofield and Company sport.
It's also had
a bunch of big fellas just ramming into each other and slapping each other in the face.
I think I've mentioned my favorite book ever before, Freakonomics. There's an entire chapter about how corrupt sumo wrestling is.
No. Bettable?
Because it's all about the betting markets in Japan.
Oh, really?
And
so the Yakuza's all over it?
Completely fixed for a long time.
Really?
And hopefully they cleaned it up. Maybe it's not going on anymore.
If you and McKinnell did sumo, would you feel bad about, like, whacking him in the face? Because that is part of it. I mean, the freaking hand play, just blasting someone in the grill just to kind of throw him off. Like, would you just flip the switch and go, like, super aggressive Adam Hill?
I don't know.
Which is that switch never gets flipped.
Yeah. I mean, that was
unless you don't get your coffee.
That was my problem.
The drive-thru.
My problem in football of just, like, phenomenal technique and agility, but no ability to hit anybody.
I love every time you talk about football that you always throw in your phenomenal technique, but lack of aggression and the foggy rec specs.
Oh, because the coaches would be so infuriated.
Yeah.
Like, you could be really good. Like, you do it, hit somebody. Like, nah, that's not really my thing. They're like, the same thing you do on the sled, do here. Nah, man, I'm out. Don't hurt anybody.
If you missed the beginning of the show, we're all unraveling.
True.
I was just yelling at the videographer here / my lady friend to run a video on us before the show. Not yelling, but kind of like, do it again. It's not the right shot. Ari completely came unraveled. We won't snitch on him again because it's already out there. And then Adam flipped out about not getting his coffee, his pre-show drink. You pulled into the drive-thru. You realized it wasn't going to happen. And then cars were behind you. And did you actually get out of the car?
Got out of the car and started.
How many cars had to back out?
Four.
Really?
Yeah. Around a curve, too.
They all cooperated.
Well, they didn't want to, but I was like, let's go. I had to get out. What am I going to do?
All right. That's an awesome image. The meek inherit the earth, Adam Hill, and you're getting out like in menacing fashion, like, move it.
Well, you saw how angry I still was when I got here.
So that's the one thing, coffee, that sets you off.
It wasn't. It's not the coffee. It's just there's a reason.
Here we go.
There's a reason they have an app where you can order in advance.
No,
now everybody can get there. Just pick up their coffee. There's no need to order in line. There's no need to trade money. You just pull through and pick it up. They've got it set up in a very good manner. If everybody just cooperates, it's time for all of us in society to cooperate. That's all I'm asking for. Sorry.
Ari?
I got nothing. I agree with everything he just said. I'm just amazed because, like, other things don't set you off at all. You'll just take it. But
he just takes it, yep.
Yeah. But, no, he's right. I have to agree. This is the time when these things need to be paid more attention to.
I find these odds fascinating. Again, no segue. Offensive rookie of the year. I want you to listen to these names and then think about what's going to happen in the draft. And again, it's just offensive. So defensive players are probably going to take up at least half the slots in the first round. Joe Burrow is the favorite at +250. Tua is 8-1. Third and fourth choice are DeAndre Swift at 9-1, Johnny Taylor 9.5-1, then Jerry Jeudy, Justin Herbert, CeeDee Lamb, J.K. Dobbins, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire are 16 and 18-1. Four of the top 10 are running backs. There may not be a running back who goes in the first round.
Yeah, I still think Swift will. I think,
but isn't that nuts? I mean, obviously, you only have so many offensive positions.
Right.
It's, you know, it's not going to be the left tackle prospect who's going to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. But still, Swift could go, you know, 35th in the draft. He could go at the end of the first round. And he's one of the favorites to win Rookie of the Year.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense because it's while it's the position with the least premium, it is the position where teams want to get you in and just start wearing you out. Here you go. Take the ball. You're the guy. We'll run you into the ground during your rookie deal and then leave you useless after that. So, I mean, it makes a lot of sense in that regard. It's hard to adjust to life in the NFL as a quarterback, although you probably have the best chance if you have a decent year to win the award. And wide receivers tend to have a very tough time their rookie season. So all those things make some sense.
Okay.
I don't think I would take Burrow.
All right.
For sure.
You were very gracious with that answer because your answer could have been like, why are you so interested by this? Here's the simple math of it. Don't be a dummy. I actually, it's funny, yesterday, I think you would have got me on this. JBT did not. I opened the show talking about the draft, the NFL draft, and pushing back the date. And I was like, look, the NHL just pushed back the award show and the draft.
And the combine.
And then, like, after I got done with the show, I'm like, yeah, the season's going to be going on. Moron. That has no relevance to the NFL draft, which is in the offseason.
They're still going to be playing. Yeah. By the way, 4:36 p.m., so 22 minutes ago, NFL officially confirms.
Yep.
Draft will take place as scheduled.
5 o'clock hour, we're going to get to that. Comeback player of the year odds. You're not going to take the favorite, I'm guessing, because there's no value there. Or is there? Big Ben +340, even with that beard. Cam Newton 5-1. J.J. Watt 5-1. That's a good choice.
Yeah.
The people love that freaking guy. Nick Foles 6-1. A.J. Green 7.5. Matt Stafford 750.
That's a weird
one. Will he even be considered a comeback?
No, I don't think so. But how about
Miles Garrett 11-1? No shot.
Will he play?
And no shot. He's gonna get a popular nod. Come on.
I will say the thing that you take away from those odds, Nick Foles. They're basically telling you he's starting. In their mind.
6-1.
Yeah. That's pretty crazy.
5 o'clock hours on the way. Yeah, we'll get you the update. Raj ain't playing around. He says you can complain all you want. The NFL draft is going to happen, and it will happen starting April 23rd.
Visit Cofield's Corner on LVSportsNetwork.com for access to the latest podcasts and best interviews.